Welcome to the Word of Christ, sermons from Pastor Sean Denzer, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Great Bend, North Dakota, and Peace Lutheran Church in Barney, North Dakota.
The third reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. O Lord, have mercy on us." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Who is serving whom? This is the question that distinguishes all religions from the one true religion. The answer is, our God first loves us before we love Him or anyone else. Our God serves us. On the first Sabbath, the seventh day of creation, God rested. But after that, His people were to rest instead. And in rest, they would recall the great creation in 6 days for them. In rest, they would remember the Lord's rescue from their bitter slave work in Egypt. But of all the passages that explain the Old Testament Sabbath to us, none is more important than Exodus 31:13, where the Lord says, "Keep my Sabbaths, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you." The command is not get up and do something. The third commandment says, do nothing. It is a non-commandment. It says, rest, that I may do my work in you, God says. I am the one who sanctifies you. I make you holy. The Sabbath was made for you. And that is why it is holy for you. Now, the Old Testament Sabbath day, in all of its limitation and restriction and specificity, it is abrogated for us. It is not something that Christians must observe. Now, don't be confused. Sunday is not the Sabbath day. This is the first day of the week, not the seventh. We are not Israelites according to the flesh. That means that we are not bound to the Levitical ceremonial law. But even more than that, we are not bound to keep the Sabbath outwardly because Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, has fulfilled it. He has instituted the New Testament, the New Testament that is in His blood, as Jeremiah predicted. And He has come as the prophet with the Lord's own words in his mouth, because it is the Lord's mouth, just as Moses predicted. And as Jesus himself said, the prophets and the law prophesied up until John, and he is the messenger who prepared the way of the Lord himself to come. Now, we have what Hebrews 9 says very succinctly, that those many regulations of the First Testament that were imposed until the time of Reformation, well, they have now been reformed. They have been reformed by Christ, the high priest, because he is the mediator of a new testament. Paul says it clearest for us in Colossians chapter 2. He writes, "Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These were a shadow of the things that were to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." You see, Paul says that Jesus cast a shadow backward, as it were, into the past. And his shadow was all of the ceremonies and the regulations of the Sabbath. It was the tabernacle. It was all of Moses' covenant. But the real substance, or as the text says, the body that cast them, that was Jesus. The Sabbath day command to rest is fulfilled by the one who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And Jesus himself, having completed his work of redeeming the human race by his sufferings and death, he rested once and for all from his labors in the tomb on the seventh day of the week. Therefore, we find our rest, dear Christians, in Jesus. We find our rest in the one who became to us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption from God. Now, what does the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, what does this commandment still hold for us who are in the New Testament? It is not a command that we must take a day off work each week, even though that, of course, may have its benefits. It is also not a command that we need to spend one day a week thinking about God and we may forget him for the other six, although spending one whole day might be a very good start. No, the third commandment tells us what sort of worship is truly necessary and how we are to become holy. And in this, nothing of substance actually has changed from when the Lord spoke of it in Exodus 31. It is still the command from the Lord that we do nothing and that he do everything, that we may know that he, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, sanctifies us. We do not sanctify ourselves. It is not our works that make us holy before God. Sanctification is not our achievement, but it is the Lord's work in us. He makes us holy. And thus, the highest worship of God is faith that receives his works, that trusts in his promises, and that is sanctified by his word. And the catechism you have learned captured this in beautiful and in accurate words when it says that we should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching or God's word, but we hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Now it should be clear how the commandment concerning the Sabbath may rightly be applied to our divine service. We have no command from God to observe any particular day as holier than another, but we do have the command to abide in God's word as his disciples, Because that is to rest in the deliverance from sin that comes from the Son of God. We have the command not to neglect meeting together, as is the habit of some, but rather to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, and to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, and all because He who promised is faithful. We find our Sabbath rest not in a seventh day of leisure, but in the New Testament in Christ's blood. Now, for us, that day is usually Sunday, not as a command, but as a confession of our faith. Because Christ was raised on the first day of the week, on Sunday. And He appeared among His gathered disciples to bring peace to them in His wounds that He revealed. And He was then with them again 8 days later, that is the next Sunday, to show Himself to these disciples and to Thomas, who made it this time. And we see, not just later in history, but even in the Scriptures themselves, right in the Bible, how Christians continued to gather on the first day of the week, which they began to call the Lord's Day, to be devoted to the apostles' teaching and communion, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And that remains the core of the divine service even to this day, the service in which God serves and sanctifies us. Now, even before today's gospel reading, Jesus had already announced to the Pharisees that He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He had shown them in Luke that doing good, not evil, is proper to the Sabbath, that particularly the sons of Abraham and Israel and David ought to be fed. And Jesus was going to see to that. And that's why in today's fourth encounter with the Pharisees about the Sabbath, Jesus does not wait for them to ask the questions. He does not wait for them to corner Him and ask, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day or not?" And when Jesus asks it, those Pharisees remain silent because they know this question is a trap. It's the trap that they had intended to set on Jesus. And they were using this poor man in front of them, a man with a chronic and deforming disease called dropsy, they were using him as the bait for their trap. How it is evil to do that. It is evil to play God's commandments off against each other as if this were a game of ethics. The law of God cannot be put to that use. The law of God cannot be bent. It cannot be padded. It cannot be adjusted or played off against itself to justify ourselves. But that's what the Pharisees were doing. They were acting like great defenders of the Sabbath day, checking Jesus, this horrible offender of it. But in truth, they had no use for God's work on the Sabbath day, and they themselves had no love at all. But Jesus does. Jesus does not use this man who needs help as some kind of tool or object lesson. He heals him. And it is beyond lawful for Jesus to heal on the Sabbath. He is the God of Abraham. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is David's Son and Lord. It is the entire point of the Sabbath day that Jesus, the Lord, be working, be at work to rescue and to save and to sanctify His people on it, because His Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now beware, dear Christians, just as the Old Testament Sabbath could be twisted by the Pharisees into man's service rather than God's, so can our Christian gatherings. The first way is if we are to come to church as if it were some kind of obligation that we do to please God. The Lord is no idol carved out of stone who needs us to bow down to Him to prove that He is worth something. No, we come to this place each Sunday not because we have to, but because we need to. We come in need. We come humbled, looking for eternal rest and looking for the Lord to do His work by the gospel, to forgive us, to sanctify us in His word and in His blood. The second twisting is to treat our Sunday as if it were a Jewish Sabbath day. The Pharisees were very particular. They had every step, every hand motion calculated out so that they would be able to measure whether someone had done any work instead of resting on the Sabbath and clobber them for it. And American Judaizers do the very same thing. When they imagine that keeping your store open or mowing the lawn or even combining on a Sunday would be sinful. This is bad theology even for the Old Testament, because the point of God's command to rest is that God may be the one at work in you. What is actually sinful about work on Sunday, or any day, I suppose, is when your work causes you to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness second. God's command to rest and to keep it holy means this. It means that when it is time for God to do His work in the divine service, then you don't work. Weekly and Sunday work can give way for 1 hour. You don't even have to change if you can't, because you are also one of the men for which His Sabbath exists. And the third twisting of God's commands is probably the most dangerous lie, because it tries to do exactly what the Pharisees are trying to do to Jesus today. They're trying to pit God's good things and His commandments against each other. And this is a lie that I think all of us have heard said, and maybe we've even said it ourselves, that Sunday is supposed to be family day. It's not. That is not in the Bible anywhere. Family is not the reason that Christians ask to have their time off on Sunday morning if they can. Because if family is the reason you're asking for time off, then family will also be the excuse that you soon give to be absent from the divine service also. You cannot do this. You cannot pit family against God's word. After all, it was Jesus who said, "Anyone who does not hate father and mother is not worthy of me." Using your family for an excuse of avoiding the divine service is exactly like the Pharisees using that sick man as bait in their trap. It is totally unloving. Do not make Sunday a millstone tied around your neck and your whole family's neck with you. You will certainly stay together, but where will you end up? No, if you have to keep this saying, then you must let it be this saying, that Sunday is family at church day. And thanks be to God, the Lord makes very few of us come to the choice of hating one, but lets us have them both together. Jesus is hard on Sunday and Sabbath day Pharisees today. But the reason is they are striking down and destroying the thing that He loves. What He loves is to give rest and peace and forgiveness and healing and life and holiness to those who are in need. The proud and the exalted Jesus must humble. But the humbled, he exalts. That's what he does. Jesus is the Lord of Sabbath. He helps those in need. He sanctifies us. And that is why we do not neglect gathering together. God has made us his own sons through Jesus Christ. And he is pulling us up again and again out of this weary world's pit and into the eternal rest that he has prepared for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to The Word of Christ. You can find more sermons at verbachristi.blogspot.com, and if you have need to contact Pastor Denzer, you can email him at pastor@denzer.org. That's pastor@denzer.org. But the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Amen.